If you're a heavy metal fan, then you should check out the Metal Pit podcast. It's available on Apple, Spotify, really anywhere that you can find your podcasts. And they have nothing but five-star reviews. They dive headfirst into the world of metal every single week. So whether you enjoy the more laid-back sounds of heavy rock, doom, power metal, or traditional metal, or if you prefer the brutal and uncompromising sounds of death metal, black metal, grindcore, or thrash, they are your go-to source for everything metal. Again, it's the Metal Pit Podcast. Some of their recent episodes actually have The Iron Maiden, Peace of Mind, Merciful Fate, Melissa, Scorpions, Love at First Sting, White Zombie, Astro Creep 2000, Megadeth, Rust in Peace, Alice in Chains, Dirt, and so much more, guys. So check them out. It is the Metal Pit Podcast. You can find them also at themetalpit.org. And sometimes they even have an actual member of the metal band on their show. Really, really fun podcast, guys. If you love metal, you're going to absolutely love this. The Metal Pit Podcast, or go to themetalpit.org. Again, it's available anywhere that you get your podcasts, whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon, Apple Podcasts, you name it, they're there. So check them out, the Metal Pit Podcast, right now.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
The champ is
the one that everybody wants, me.
Since I just ripped your ass.
This is my iron. You're gonna acknowledge me.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, everybody. It is Saturday. Yes, it's a Saturday, April 13th, 2024. Here comes Mailbag Part 2. I didn't want to attach it to tomorrow night's show because it's just too damn long of a show, right? So here it is, Part 2. We also have, for those of you who are on the SmackDown side of things, the SmackDown tier, that is, on Patreon, we have the exclusive After Dark show coming to you at some point today. So if you want to join us on the SmackDown side of things, do that on Patreon. But speaking of Patreon, always giving shout outs here. Let's give a shout out to, the Out of the Fast Lane podcast. They just joined. I'm Chris, just joined us on the Monday Night Raw level. So thank you so much, Chris. And let's see here. We had a couple people cancel. How dare you? All right. So we had also Drew. I think I gave Shiloh, Andrew Black also shout outs. But if I didn't, there you go. So thank you to all of you for joining us here. And don't you dare downgrade your membership and or cancel, or I will publicly shame you on here. Okay. That's just kind of who I am. All right. Of course, I'm joking. Let's get to the rest of the mailbag, and I'd encourage you, if you want shout outs and priority in the mailbag, well, that's how you get to Patreon, or join us on Apple Podcasts too. That does give you everything ad free. Okay. More to the, let's get to the mailbag here. I don't think I got to DJ Kuzma. Let's get to his email here. And he says, he's back at it again. I got four words for you. Wrestling is cool again. It was a fun weekend for wrestling fans. This was our early Christmas and Super Bowl all in one. I can't believe that WrestleMania has just come and went so quickly. And now we wait for WrestleMania 41 next year in a city to be announced. I think it was it Minneapolis? Let me Google it. It does look like at least, okay, Minneapolis is among the finalists to host WrestleMania 25. Not confirmed, but it looks like it's leaning towards Minneapolis, Minnesota. Let's all hope that they're not doing some kind of outdoor arena. I wouldn't imagine in April in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where it can snow into May, that they have an open air arena that it's covered, which I actually like. I don't like the stadiums because the sound escapes, right? The weather can play a factor, which deters the crowd from what we heard this year in Philadelphia. So Minneapolis does look like it's the place that it could be. Not confirmed, but leaning that way, which also makes you think it's in Minneapolis. What does that mean? Well, isn't that Brock Lesnar? Right? Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hey, if Brock returns, what a hell of a way to give him a send-off match or at least a prominent match in Minneapolis, Minnesota for next year's WrestleMania. And so it looks like also, before I get to the mailbag and finish DJ's email, we could be having already a set main event for next year's WrestleMania that's reported to be Cody Rhodes versus The Rock. Now, The Rock did allude before he left for a few months, probably coming back around SummerSlam, but he did allude to the fact that our story is just beginning. So you would think maybe it's Rock and Cody. I don't really want that. I do love this Rock character, so I don't want Rock going back to his typical Dwayne Johnson version of the babyface Rock. This is a character that I don't think anyone expected to be this awesome. But I mean, if we have to wait till WrestleMania 42 for WrestleMania or for Rock versus Roman Reigns, which it seems to be, according to Dave Meltzer, take that for what you will, that the plans are for WrestleMania in 2026. 2026 is 2 years away, but still, the plans are tentative for Rock versus Roman at that point, which is insane. But maybe they do it. It just stinks, and I put this out on X. Even if you're a Cody Rhodes fan or a Cody Rhodes hater, wherever you fall on the spectrum of the Cody Rhodes debacle, aren't you kind of annoyed that you already know what the main event has been every single time, every single year he's been back? Yeah, he's only been back for a couple of years, but we knew what the WrestleMania 38 surprise opponent was for Seth Rollins, and we knew it was Cody Rhodes. We then knew it was going to be Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns for WrestleMania 39. We knew forever that it was going to be Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns part two at WrestleMania 40. Now, the fans willed that to happen, but it still happened. And now we already know what WrestleMania 41 is. If it holds true, lots can happen. But it's kind of like, can we ever like go into a WrestleMania season and not at least have a lock of who he's already ready to face? Wouldn't that make it much more fun? I mean, I don't know. Again, this is tentative, but so far he's been three for three on what we know Cody Rhodes and who he's going to face before it even happens. So let's move into the email, guys. We still got a whole lot, and I'll try to get to voicemails. I can't promise anything. This mailbag is getting overwhelming, and that's not a complaint. We hit number 12 on the wrestling charts in the United States. Number 12. We beat out JR's podcast. We nearly got into the top 10. We beat Chris Jericho's podcast, a bunch of other wrestlers' podcasts. We even got close to Austin's podcast for a short time. And so it's pretty awesome. And we even hit, I think, out of the entire sports category in the United States. At one point, we were 120, 125. And in Canada, we were like number 13 or something. So that's awesome. You know, thank you, everybody, for supporting the show, hating the show. Even if you hate us, I could care less, because your hate is fueling the success of the show. So thank you for that. But let's get into the rest of DJ's email here. And where are we here? Because I already lost my spot. There we are. Okay. So he said that the biggest moment that stood out to me over WrestleMania weekend is that Sami Zayn becoming the new IC champion. I originally predicted Gunther was going to retain, and Sami did not stand a chance against those brutal and devastating chops from Gunther, but to my surprise, Sami won. It's moments like these that make me really and truly love wrestling. The creative did a good job building up this match, especially with the involvement of Chad Gable coaching Sami and getting him ready for the fight of his life. It was like watching Rocky III when Apollo was coaching and getting Rocky ready for his biggest fight at the time against Mr. T. Interesting question to ask. Do you still want Chad Gable to become IC champ, or is everyone siding with Sami remaining champion? Plus, by the way, next week we got a big-time IC title match against these two guys. That should be a really good main event. DJ Kuzma signing off. Have a great weekend, and see y'all in the Discord chat for SmackDown. The idea that Sami Zayn won the title, I don't think is one that fans hate. They just seem to gravitate towards Chad. And WWE, to their credit and to Sami Zayn's credit, did as good of a job as you could imagine they would do, given the fans' disappointment going into the match. And bringing Sami's wife in was an emotional tie that I think helped things along. Chad Gable coaching him was fun to watch. The videos and build into the match, I think, helped set the stage for a Sami Zayn victory. And we have been told that WrestleMania 40, over and over, is the start of a new era. And the more I think about that, the more that it really kind of put writing on the wall that we were going to get new champions, and a lot of new champions. The only one I believe that retained was Rhea Ripley. I have no issue with any of the other changes. I agree with actually almost every single one, if not all of the booking. All of the booking, I think, was done perfectly at WrestleMania. The execution wasn't always there, like Jimmy and Jay. But overall, I really enjoyed it. And so we have the dawning of a new era, but you can't have the dawning of a new era if you keep the champions the same and the faces of the belts the same and the faces of the shows the same. It's kind of like telling you one, speaking out of both sides of your mouth. That's what I was going for, right? You're saying one thing, but then showing us another. So it almost was impossible for Triple H to keep the belts, especially the two top ones, the world title and the Undisputed Championship, the WWE Undisputed Championship, on Roman Reigns. You just couldn't do it. You can't if you tell us that. That's a declarative statement that you just can't not show us and just tell us. So, and the same thing with the IC title. You know, that's also one that has impressed and been a focal point of Monday Night Raw for over a year. And credit to Gunther, credit to Creative on that. And now we have a new Intercontinental Champion that I think is going to serve us well. And I think that these title changes are not going to be changed again until after SummerSlam. I don't even know if any of these belts are going to change hands at SummerSlam. I'm talking any of them. The tag titles, the women's title from Bayley beating Io, especially any of the world titles. I mean, the only one that maybe has a chance is maybe the world title, where you could have Drew win there because you want him going into Scotland as champion. You know, there's a chance there. So outside of that, guys, I don't think we're going to see until the fall and until Survivor Series time, I don't think we're going to see a ton of change as to who's holding the belt. You usher in a new era at the biggest WrestleMania of all time that we were told, and you're going to keep these decisions intact for a little while. So thank you, DJ. Thank you so much. And as far as do fans still want Chad to become an IC champion, or is everyone sticking with Sammy? I think it's going to depend if they're trying to turn Chad heel, or if they're just going to keep babyface, which has worked. But here's the thing. If they keep it babyface and they don't try to turn Chad, the fans, I think, will organically side with Chad. Chad has a more interesting story. I don't think he's won a title at WrestleMania, or even had a one-on-one at WrestleMania, has he? And then Sammy won last year's WrestleMania main event, won the tag titles with Kevin Owens, wins this year's match against Gunther, wins a singles title in the IC title, arguably the second biggest title in the company. This is going to be interesting. Depends how they move forward with Chad. What do they see him being? Do they see him being the smarmy heel, turning on Sammy? Like, this week is going to be a very telling week. Because if Sammy loses or wins, which I think he will, how will Chad deal with the loss? Does he hit a low blow? Does he get frustrated to hit him in the head with the belt? I think it's very possible. Because you're not going to have Sammy lose the belt after like holding it for a week and a half. There's not a chance. But the one thing you said rings true, DJ. These two are going to have, I think, easily match of the night. All right, let's go to Grant, a new Patreon member. He says, "Hey, Matt, my name is Grant Fry. I'm from 25 from North Carolina, my first mailbag. Welcome. I've been listening to your show since I got back into WWE a year ago, and boy, what a great time to get back into the product. Went to my first SmackDown in probably 16 years, going to Raw in May. Not a big fan of AEW, but I did attend Revolution to see Sting's last match since it was 15 minutes from my house. Turned out to be a great show. However, that's not what I'm talking about here, or what you're here to talk about. I'm not presenting an in-depth analysis of WrestleMania. I'm simply here to aggravate Cody Crybaby Jabronis and add what you said to the Raw review." Oh, this is going to be fun. "Cody is an amazing performer in the ring, possibly the best in the company. He deserves his title run, but he's an awful performer when he's doing his soap opera fake crying. I've seen better acting on the Hallmark Channel. If you're going to bore us with this every time you're on TV, at least make it look like real emotion. The in-ring celebration after the win and the tribute video Triple H did for him made me want to vomit. I seriously want to turn the channel like any time Cody is speaking, which is not a good thing when you're champion. But I know we're in the minority on that opinion. It was laughable through this whole road to WrestleMania when Cody kept saying he was owning The Rock in all of their promos because he said Rocky had LDS. I had my peers in high school used to say that, I think my peers in high school used to use that same line. I think they're just scared to admit that a 51-year-old Rock is more entertaining than Mr. Nice Guy, boy band, bleach hair Cody Rhodes. I'm eager to see how long this character can hold up for Cody until he begins getting booed out of the building like he did in AEW. Thank you for allowing me to spill, as I've become disengaged in any debates on this topic on X or Threads due to the lack of intelligence on these apps. Instead of a proper debate, people chose to name call or bring your mama jokes back like it's 2008. I haven't had the time. I don't have the time for the immaturity. I mean, dude, you are hitting the nail on the head. That's the thing, right? Nobody wants debate anymore, whether it's wrestling, whether it's sports in general, whether it's, you know, God forbid politics, right? Anything. People so quickly resort to just name calling or making wild accusations with zero evidence. Zero, right? You know you've already won a debate when no one can come back at you intellectually and they just label you with a name, right? Hater, just enjoy the product, don't take it so seriously. All that is a reflection of themselves, of their just weak intellectual ability to debate you. That's all. It's their own insecurity, knowing that they don't have enough intelligence or the skill to debate you on the topic. And I'm all for it. You know, the thing is too, in the debate, you'll never convince that person to join your side, most likely, and vice versa. You know, the idea is to just have them see something through a different lens. Sometimes people go into debates with the idea that, well, if I just present this fact, they're going to join my side and see the light. No, more often than not, that's not the case. But here's the thing. A battle of ideas is healthy. And an intellectual, respectful battle of ideas is at a lost art today. It has become and broken down quickly, almost instantaneously. When you see a dissenting opinion, it breaks down into elementary insults. And I hear what you're saying. I've caught so much hate on X for Cody, but here's the thing for me, that I don't know if this is a character flaw or a character attribute, but for me, when I see that, I triple down. And instead of cowering, and I'm not saying you are, Grant, I'm saying some people do, I triple down and say things that I know will piss them off even further, right? So the more that you tell me you don't like my opinion and you just all automatically resort to fifth grade insults, I will do everything to now push your buttons even further and send you down into a spiral. And it will also make me, it encourages me to even further share my opinions. It's almost like a fuel. I don't know how to explain it. I just feed off of people getting angry with me. And I want to be very clear about this. I don't say things that I don't believe. I don't just say things to press people's buttons that I don't personally believe. That's the key. It's like I never, ever put out anything that I go, I don't really mean this. I'm just trying to be controversial. No. Like some people have already gotten angry at me for them, thinking I'm making fun of Cody's lisp. I'm not making fun of it. I don't have to make this any clearer. Yeah, and I went into detail as to how and why I didn't make fun of it. I just pointed it out that it's a distraction. And yet somehow still, that's low-hanging fruit. No, it's on camera all the time. Every time he says any word with the letter S in it, I'm going to get the lisp in my face. It's distracting. That's all. I guess people don't want to hear that, or just no matter, even just observing it and just noticing it and just very matter of fact stating it's a distraction is somehow making fun of it. I don't really care. I mean, you would think I'm making fun of it, and then have at it. I don't care. You know, whatever. I don't care. And I think, Grant, I think if you just realize that those people that are out there that are, you know, automatically name calling, you know that they're exposing their room temperature IQ instantly. So, okay, quick note. You may have covered this on Raw, but my guess is The Rock handed Cody a lighter he used that caused the fire on Cody's bus. Can't wait for the feud, this promo, and the 25 promos of Cody crying about a new story in the process. I saw the videos of these, quote, men on social media crying as Cody was on Randy and Sammy's shoulders like I was watching a High School Musical. All I'll say is that they're truly a perfect match for each other. Let me know if this is too long. Sorry if it is. Thanks for all the entertainment and discussions each week. And I can't wait to see all the perks of being a Patreon member, checking out the After Dark shows. Yeah, After Dark's coming. After Dark's coming tonight. And yeah, so the fake crying, it, by the way, it's not too long. I think it's just like, I wouldn't go any longer, but you know, this is okay. Now, yeah, the fake crying, I don't care who it is, whether it's Cody or anybody, don't fake cry. You either commit or you don't, because fake crying is very obvious. When you don't have tears, you're not crying. End of discussion. Man, woman, I don't care if it was Stone Cold Steve Austin, which he never would. I don't care if it's The Rock. I don't care if it's Cody Rhodes. I don't care if it's Roman Reigns. I don't care. Don't pretend to cry if you can't actually cry. You can't cry in command. Don't do it. And I don't know about you guys. If you're a Cody fan, are you not getting tired of Dusty Rhodes being implemented in his story? We constantly hear about Cody wanting to be blaze his own trail, and he's on his own path and distancing himself, you know, all these things. And yet every single time we turn around, the word Dusty and my dad and my mommy and I'm crying. And here's my, like, it's very weird that you say you want Dusty to be separated from your career, then also at the same time mention him in every single promo and cry over him every single time that you have a moment. That you cannot have it both ways. Okay. Thank you, Grant. All righty, let's go. We got another patron. We got Bad Fish. He says, hey, Matt Bad Fish. It's been a while. Hope you all had a great WrestleMania weekend and are ready for the days ahead. I know I am. Since I'm aware there are probably going to be a lot of WrestleMania takes on this show, I'll go in another direction and talk about Backlash. Chad Gable has been absolutely killing it, and I have a prediction. He's slated for a match with Sammy next week. Gunther comes back and is upset that Gable is getting a title shot before Gunther could invoke his rematch clause, thus leading to a triple threat at Backlash and possibly match of the year. Gunther doesn't have to win. One last thing, I wanted to say it here. Roman Reigns pulled off the Crossroads better than Cody ever has. Just saying. Good. Oh, that's so funny. He actually did. I'm glad you mentioned. I forgot that Roman Reigns hit the Crossroads. But if you're going to execute it, Roman Reigns executed it better than Cody Rhodes probably ever has. I hate the move just generally. I think it's just, I know it's a twisty turny move that, yeah, it's so twisting. It goes so quickly that, oh wow, it looks devastating. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It's clearly Cody Rhodes taking the bump, not his opponent. Even if it, in pro wrestling, you know, imaginary land, it doesn't look good. But anyway, Chad Gable has been killing it. You know, the more I'm thinking about it, I absolutely could see Gunther getting involved in this match. If Chad doesn't turn on Sammy on Monday night, we could have easily Gunther ruining the match. No, you know, no, there's probably a non-winner, a no contest, right? No, and then that leads to a triple threat where Sammy pins Chad to retain, Chad loses it, and then turns at Backlash. That's a really, actually, I like that better than Chad turning on Monday night. Gunther gets involved, triple threat, easily could be candidate for match of the year, and then you have a Chad turn. I like that. Good stuff. Thanks, Badfish. All right. Another patron, Darren. Darren says, hey, WWE Podcast family. So I timed the entrances of the tag team match from when Cody's music hit to when Roman's music ended. 16 minutes, 50 seconds. And just for comparison, all six teams in the ladder match combined for 5 minutes and 52 seconds. Now I'll just give some quick thoughts. Of course, okay, before you move on. I think I said the over-under on that's 15 minutes. That's wild. That's longer than some of the matches on the card. It's just, I mean, that's like 10 times the amount of, no, I wouldn't say 10, maybe 6 or 7 times a lot of the women's matches on Raw. I mean, sometimes they get 2 minutes. This is nearly 17. It's just insane. Okay. You thought it was a good WrestleMania? Even with how bad Jimmy J was and Stone Cold would have made it better, I still come away very pleased. Roman choosing to hit Seth with the chair instead of Cody was brilliant. Also, I heard a little bit of Let's Go Cody, Cody Sucks chants, so it'll be interesting to see if and when those get louder. It was definitely a disappointment for Austin not being there, and it still, to me, doesn't sit right. I'm still disappointed he wasn't there. I think he would have been the perfect addition to the finish of that match, hitting a stunner on The Rock in Philadelphia, where they have history from 25 years ago. All of the, I mean, everything. Yes, the gong, and people still went crazy. But as I said in the moment, it felt like Taker was a replacement. And it turns out he was. From all the outlets that are reporting, what happened was it was money. They couldn't come to a financial agreement. Now, if that's true, which I'll take at face value for the moment, that sucks. The fact that money held this moment up sucks. Now, you could get angry at Steve and say, you know, it's not just about the money and, you know, he doesn't need the money. Well, if you're Stone Cold, right, you understand the magnitude of the moment. You also don't need the money. If he needed it, he would have taken whatever they offered. He's doing very well financially. And you also understand that, as he said many times, he's not a guy that comes around very often. He is arguably the hottest wrestler that has ever lived. Not the longest, not the most title reigns, not the longest title reign. He didn't break any records with title reigns of any kind. But he burned the hottest. Hotter than Hogan, hotter than Andre, hotter than Ultimate Warrior, hotter than Rock. Yes, hotter than Rock, hotter than Taker, hotter than Triple H, hotter than Kane, no pun intended. Hotter than Cena ever was, hotter than Roman ever was. And I'm not saying all of them combined, of course not. I'm saying for a singular star to be as hot as Austin was does not exist, and I don't know if they ever will. Putting that all aside, Austin knows his value, and he probably felt, not putting words in his mouth, but I'm going to venture to guess, he felt disrespected by the offer that was presented to him, and that what was presented to him didn't reflect what he felt his character should receive for the moment that they would get out of him. So, can you really blame the man? He probably wanted to do it. I mean, wrestling's in his blood. But for what they were offering him from a financial standpoint, I don't know the numbers. We all probably never will. He didn't feel that that number was respectful enough and worth him doing the moment that they wanted him to do. Which sucks for all of us. We all got screwed with that moment. Sure, Taker, for a lot of you, was a okay replacement. For me, I don't hate Taker. I'm a big fan of The Undertaker's, but it didn't fit nearly as well as Austin's glass crashing would have. My God, I've been soothing myself with watching YouTube videos of Austin's like random returns over the years just to make myself feel better. But anyway, as far as the Cody Rhodes chants go, let's go Cody, Cody sucks. We've seen that with the Cena character much more so. I think if those chants start to happen and they become more prominent, WWE may take notice, but they'll also say to themselves, hey guys, we lived through this with John Cena for a decade and it turns out just fine. So don't worry about it. I think the only thing that would turn Cody heel at this point is if the fans suddenly decide overwhelmingly, like 75% or higher, we don't like this guy anymore, and we're going to boo him. That's what it, to me, would be the only way that the WWE would respond. If they get, again, the Cody Rhodes, let's go Cody, Cody sucks, could be something that evolves over the next year or two, but I don't see Cody Rhodes turning heel anytime soon. They have decided to get behind Cody Rhodes as a company, and they have a formula that has generally worked. So I think we'll see a Cody Rhodes heel turn at some point in his career, but I don't think it's anywhere. We're not anywhere near it right now, unfortunately. Thanks, Darren. Good stuff. Good questions. Where are we? Where are we? My gosh, we have so many. I know some of you may be actually patrons. Oh, here we go. Thomas Franco. I got another patron here. We've got Thomas, and he says, wow, this was one of the best WrestleManias I've ever watched. I know you aren't a fan of the Cody Rhodes character, but that ending to the match and closing segment was cool to watch. I agree. It was cool. Yeah, it was cool. Not how I would have done it, but cool. For someone like me who had to put in tons of work to grow a successful coaching business and become a good athlete, I really resonate with the Cody character. He was once let go by WWE and had to reinvent himself, so massive props to the guy. I totally see the reasoning as to why some don't like the character and sappiness. It's definitely a lot. I agree with everything you said, Thomas. Even as a Cody Rhodes babyface hater, as we want to, I guess, label me, I don't care. Label me whatever. But I respect the hell out of his work ethic. Everyone seems to love him backstage. But it's just, this is easily the most emotionally fragile feminine champion we've ever had. I know people keep saying, oh, he's just, you know, why do you keep harping on the feminine thing? Because he's a man, not a woman, maybe. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff at the wall here, right? But for real, he's a man. And to me, a man should act like a man and a woman should act like a woman. There's no downside to either one as far as meaning like if you are a woman that acts like a woman with more feminine traits, that's cool. That's good. To me, that's what it should be. It's not always what it is. If you're a masculine woman, that's not bad. It's just in the context of pro wrestling, in the pro wrestling world is where I have an issue with it. Not in like real life, right? Not every man is a manly man. Not every woman is a feminine woman doing her hair and all that. I understand that. It's just wrestling. It's the pro wrestling world. This is what I'm speaking to, okay? Not the outside world. But for me as a champion, he's easily the most feminine man we've ever seen. And I've labeled out why. And it just doesn't resonate with me. And his sappiness, he's constantly crying, always talking about his daddy. I just hate it. It's not a champion that I can get behind. But I also respect the hell out of his work ethic. Okay, as to Roman, what I think he'll be doing next, I see him coming back to start a program with Seth, where we'll get 1 to 2 matches around SummerSlam, maybe having one at SummerSlam and one at Bash in Berlin. It gives Roman something to do and can give WWE more time to add layers to The Rock and Roman's story before they clash at next year's WrestleMania. Either way, WWE would have 3 hot programs leading into the summer. Punk, Drew, Roman, Seth, Cody, Rock. Now, I would actually prefer Cody Rock to happen at SummerSlam. I don't want Cody Rock at WrestleMania. It should be Roman Rock. Please, can we get Roman Rock at WrestleMania 41 for the love of God? I don't want Cody. Cody and Rock needs to happen one-on-one, absolutely, but SummerSlam seems to be the place for it in my mind. And it would also line up with when apparently Rock is slated to return, which is mid to late summer. So when you're talking maybe like late July is when we'll start talking or seeing Dwayne again. Yeah. All right. To respond to your question to the listeners on the Raw review, my top 5 picks for Raw and SmackDown in this year's draft. On SmackDown, you have the people, the following 5 being drafted: Roman, Seth, Bayley, Sammy, Priest. Okay. I like that. That also would split Priest from the Judgment Day though. So we'd have to think about that, but I generally like that. On Raw, you have Cody, Rhea, Punk, McIntyre, and Logan Paul. So really, on Raw, you wouldn't change much other than Logan Paul coming over. Okay. Lastly, I'll be attending Raw live next week in Montreal on April 15th and would love to do a review show on Tuesday for an in-person perspective. It's been a while since I've been a co-host, and I'm totally game to be back, so let me know if I can and in the message you on Patreon. Thanks all from me. Love the podcast. Keep being yourself. Thanks, Thomas. Well, thanks, Thomas. Appreciate it. You know, that sounds like a plan. I don't think I have anyone slated for next week. So if you want to do the podcast, let's do it next Tuesday night. I'd say like 9:30 Eastern time, but we'll have a little chit chat on Patreon. Just message me because you know me. I'll forget. I'll forget about it in about 5 minutes. So just send me a message. Okay. And we'll get the details ironed out for next Tuesday, which is, my God, only a few days. Okay. All right. Thank you, Thomas. Let's go to, I think the rest are not patrons, but I know I have some in-house patrons who messaged me recently, I think. So let's find out there because I know there's a couple ways to get in hold of me, by the way, guys. You can do the internal messaging system or the actual email at mailbag@wwepodcast.com. Okay, we do have another patron, though. This is Andy Mackey, and he said he hopes this one gets through. Well, luckily for you, I did a second one. Okay, this is your first WrestleMania that you've watched since WrestleMania 20. You've watched live. Wow, so 20 years? From 2004 is the last time you watched WrestleMania live. That's wild, Andy. But all in all, you loved the show and how we got Cody's finish, but was as gutted as you and Anthony was about being Undertaker in that moment. At the time I heard the gong, I was freaking out as I always did when we heard it in the last. We heard it in the last, but almost instantly I felt it. No Austin. And I was, as we all were, I know you were too, the biggest Austin fan, and with The Rock and the history, that would have been perfect. And to be honest, it took me a few days to get over it, but it is what it is. They couldn't get it done. Apart from that detail, absolutely adore the main event. The Drew Rollins match, I absolutely was over the moon with the finish. And again, like the Austin situation, with the way it finished, I felt awful. As I do so, you wanted Drew to have his night. Great moment for Priest, great pop for him, but I suppose keeping with the Drew current character, it is keeping with it. I just hope he gets back up in his hometown in Glasgow in June. That would be phenomenal. Sorry, I've tried to keep my email down. The last two were quite long, and I know you were absolutely mental at the moment. Congratulations on getting in the top 15. I've only been a listener since January, but it's well-deserved. Take care. Well, thank you so much, Andy. Appreciate it. And we will continue to hopefully rise. Now, I know in the last few days, we've dropped into like the top 20s. It's fine. You know, like we're riding the wave of WrestleMania, but the idea is to continue to go up slowly. It's not an easy feat. You know, here's the thing. We're now getting into playing with the big boys, as I've said, right? Like we're getting into territory that's like Jim Ross, right? And we're getting into territory with established wrestlers. Like, let me look right now. I'll tell you right now who is, as I speak, in the top 10, all right? Right now, we're number 19. We've dropped a little bit. Number one is Busted Open. I don't know why they're number one, okay? You know, LaGreca has some of the worst takes I've ever heard in my life. I mean, the guy, I don't want to say he's a clown. I don't know him enough. But LaGreca has got some really horrible takes. Just horrible. And he is a Cody crybaby, no doubt about it. The Rock even torched him with wearing his pink bathrobe. You know, anyway, the rest of them, we have Undertaker's podcast, then Jim Cornette, then we have Bischoff, Chris Van Vliet, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Dark Side of the Ring, Bruce Pritchard, JR, Going in Raw, Talk is Jericho, Kevin Nash, Sean Ross Sapp. I mean, then it's us. So right now, I mean, you talk about playing with the big boys, we're here. Cracking that top 10 is no easy feat. We haven't been there yet, but boy, we're coming close. But now we're talking about, right, Cornette. We're talking about Busted Open. We're talking about Bruce Pritchard. We're talking about, JR. So we're we are getting close, my friends. It's just, it's difficult. It's not easy to do. And it's not easy to maintain even more so. All right, let's go to another. This is, I believe, a non-patron, but again, if you are a patron, and I don't see it in the subject, I don't know you're a patron. So, but nonetheless, let's continue with the emails, and we'll see if we can get to some voicemails. If we can't, perhaps we put the voicemails on the Week in Review show Sunday night, tomorrow night, my God. All right, let's talk to our next person. This is Milan. Milan says, I was at Raw on Monday. They trashed The Rock. It was full Philly on display. Yeah, he got a little pop in the beginning, but there were a lot of FU chants. Even The Rock looked a bit shocked. I also wonder if you still think they'll do Rock Roman. I feel like they've missed the boat on that match, and the new super match everyone wants to see is Cody versus The Rock. The Rock even said you had it and you threw it away, referring to Rock Roman. But with The Rock's age and his acting career, I wouldn't think he has a lot of matches left in him. My prediction is Rock beats Cody at the Rumble. Roman wins the Rumble and challenges The Rock for the title at WrestleMania 41, but that's probably far-fetched. I do get a vibe, though, that when Roman does return, he will return as a babyface, especially since Triple H comments about his next story. Roman Reigns being a babyface is something they should absolutely explore, and they will. I have kind of reservations about turning Roman babyface. Now, Roman returning without a belt, if it's done in a way that gives fans time to miss him, he will automatically get cheered upon his return, especially depending on what the situation is when he returns. Is he coming back to save someone? Is he coming back as a surprise guest on a talk show? I mean, who knows? But it depends on the situation, and it depends how much time we're given to mourn the loss of Roman Reigns and the absence of Roman Reigns. Now, him being gone is something we've all just kind of gotten used to. Even as champion, he was there once every 3 months. So it'll kind of feel like the typical Roman return. He's back for a week, 2 weeks tops, and then he's gone for another 3 months, right? But this time he doesn't have the belt hostage. He's not holding anything hostage that we value. So when we see him, we'll actually might be glad to see him. And instead, it won't be a reminder of, oh man, he's champion. He's holding the belt. I guess he's not competing at this month's PLE. We'll just jump to the next PLE and add 60, 80, 90 days to his reign. And every time we see him, it's a reminder that he's not there. Instead of seeing him and going, oh, I'm so glad he's here, we see him and go, oh man, this dude's never here. See the difference? So I think you're right. The fans could react very positively to him upon his return. But do they want to do that yet? Or do they feel like there's more in the heel character left? To me, I still want Rock Roman as traditional Rock Roman as we were supposed to get this time around, with Rock babyface, heel Roman. But I don't want Rock to change anything about himself. He could still be easily a babyface with what he's got. All right. And Cody and Rock, as far as Rock beating Cody at the Rumble and then Roman winning the Rumble, I don't think Roman's going anywhere near the championship for a long time. It's going to be not until, like you said, maybe after next year's WrestleMania, we start talking about Roman winning having another reign. We'll see. I also really hope Drew beats Priest at Clash at the Castle. If you think you have a huge babyface in Cody, you have to have a massive heel as the other champion, and Drew fits that role perfectly. Don't get me wrong. I think Priest would make a good champion, but I'm not sure that he's that despised heel that Roman was, and I think they need that on Raw if Cody's going to be the SmackDown champion. If you're a heavy metal fan, then you should check out the Metal Pit podcast. It's available on Apple, Spotify, really anywhere that you can find your podcasts. And they have nothing but 5-star reviews. They dive headfirst into the world of metal every single week. So whether you enjoy the more laid-back sounds of heavy rock, doom, power metal, or traditional metal, or if you prefer the brutal and uncompromising sounds of death metal, black metal, grindcore, or thrash, they are your go-to source for everything metal. Again, it's the Metal Pit Podcast. Some of their recent episodes actually have The Iron Maiden, Peace of Mind, Merciful Fate, Melissa, Scorpions, Love at First Sting, White Zombie, Astral Creep 2000, Megadeth, Rust in Peace, Alice in Chains, Dirt, and so much more, guys. So check them out. It is the Metal Pit Podcast. You can find them also at themetalpit.org. And sometimes they even have an actual member of the metal band on their show. Really, really fun podcast, guys. If you love metal, you're going to absolutely love this. The Metal Pit Podcast, or go to themetalpit.org. Again, it's available anywhere that you get your podcasts, whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon, Apple Podcasts, you name it, they're there. So check them out, the Metal Pit Podcast, right now. Yeah, look, if Cody is going to be a champion, we have Drew McIntyre on the other side, who, as talented as there is, and I still don't think we've seen the best of Drew yet, that balance is nice. You usually don't want two heel champions or two babyface champions. You do want a balance. So Priest would make a good champion, but I would agree with Drew that he's a transitional champion. Now, to me, a transitional champion holds the belt for 3 months or less. And we could be looking at that with Priest. So, again, I'm cool. I'm interested to see what a Priest run looks like. But this is about Drew to me. And then, of course, it's about Punk. So when Punk returns to action, he's going to chase Drew, whether he has the belt or not. But, all right. Thank you, Milan. Still, I don't know if we're going to get all these emails. This is just, it's just wild, guys. I appreciate all of your passion. But let's talk to Attorney Tut. And he says, WrestleMania 40, he's checking in, and WrestleMania 40 was really good. And I'm glad my sons got to experience an exciting, surprise-filled, good-feeling event that, or like that. Those are the kinds of shows they'll remember for a long time. Fully agree with you on the nauseating manner in which they handled Cody winning the title, but I have an even larger criticism with him and the ending. Now, I've told my sons, ages 6, 9, and 10, that wrestling is scripted, but I feel like WWE makes zero effort to suspend viewers' belief anymore. Why in the world is Cody calling out the chief content officer, i.e., the guy who gets to decide he gets to win, and Bruce Pritchard, another random exec who makes decisions? That whole part came off as a big, hey, thanks for choosing me as the new champ embrace. Do it backstage. Let us pretend for a second you earned the title. Triple H should not be hugging one wrestler and blatantly celebrating his victory over another wrestler as part of the show. I found it absurd and beyond breaking the fourth wall. No one can possibly feel like Cody Rhodes bested Roman in a wrestling competition when he's hugging and celebrating with the Booker at the end. Not to mention WWE advertised an upcoming documentary which basically showcases that they decided to change their plans and let Cody win the title this year because the fans were complaining. I know everyone realizes, except for maybe their younger fans, that it's scripted, but Cody seems to have zero regard for upholding the illusion. More so than any wrestler, and it tends to ruin the magic of it a bit for me. Sincerely, Attorney Tut. Tut, you are very astute in your points. You have brought to light something that all of us, including myself, have, I don't know if accepted is the word, but overlooked and just, I guess, accepted unconsciously that we see Triple H out there. And yeah, that is weird, right? I mean, imagine this happening if Vince were still in charge. And it just wouldn't happen. You wouldn't have somebody come out at the end and, like, imagine Stone Cold Steve Austin winning the belt. And he's like, oh, he's like crying. And he's like, I want somebody to come out here. I know they don't want it to be about them, but Vince, get your ass out here. And they all hug and embrace. Now, Triple H, if he were here, you know what he'd say to you? He would say, well, I think Cody absolutely earned the victory. He earned the title. Right? Because he looks at it as, it's not, of course, who he decides to win. The fans decide who is going to win. And, of course, internally, they have management making the decisions on, and Triple H himself, looking at who is, you know, who they feel is right for the company, how hard they're working, what others think of him. Is he actually shown qualities of leadership? So to them, with the work ethic and how well he's liked and how he handles himself and conducts himself, that's how they would verify or validate, justify Cody, quote unquote, earning it. While we know that Cody didn't actually win it through true competition, WWE appointing Cody based on the qualities that I've mentioned is how he's earned it. So Triple H would probably tell you that, right? But I would agree, having the guy who just made the decision for you to win come out, it's like, thanks for attending the show. Let's all take a bow. Have the curtain get pulled, right? Let's all take a bow. Did we execute our plan well, guys? Here comes the guy that wrote the whole show. Did we like it? Let me give, you know, again, it feels, you talk about, like, it's like the fifth wall. If there was such thing as a fifth wall, it's like smashing that. The documentary doesn't bother me as much because it's not on the show itself. It's something you have to go seek out. And all those documentaries have exposed the business many times over. This is a different level because it's talking about actually the creative process behind a decision that just happened. But having the guy who just wrote the show or approved of the creative come out and hug you, it is a little much. But you're right. The suspending of belief has been a problem for so long. But fans don't seem to be bothered by it. See, we can make all these logical points that we want, but fans continue to cheer as if they want to believe and just put that aside and understand and have, I guess here's the thing. Fans have, over the years, developed a callus of sorts between understanding this is a work, but also being able to get into the product even though they know it's a work and are constantly reminded that it's a work. Fans have learned over the years to compartmentalize both of these worlds. And the fans have been okay with it. And the product has never been hotter. So even though this is happening, how is it that this is happening, yet at the same time, the product has never been hotter? How is that? You know? I totally understand what you're saying. This is something it's unprecedented. But fans don't seem to give a damn. So I'm glad your sons are enjoying it, though. That's the most important part, right? Thank you, Mr. Attorney. If I ever need some legal advice, I'll give you a shout. All right. Couple more, because we still can't get to all of them. We're trying. All right. Let's talk to Sage. Sage says, a few predictions for summer and beyond. Roman gets drafted to Raw along with Seth, signaling a new direction for him. After they both take a couple of months off, they return and finally finish their story at SummerSlam with the two possibly reuniting as brothers after the match. Roman and Seth need to be on the same show. I would absolutely concur with you. Roman and Seth, still, they have these like little moments of interaction. They have like a match that is a cross-brand promotional match, like at the Rumble in 2022. Then they have this little interaction for a hot minute at WrestleMania 40. And then they just move on. And it's like, why have they not done a full-fledged program with these two? And getting them on the same brand will do that, I think. I would agree. Number two, Drew beats Priest at Clash at the Castle, then beats Punk at SummerSlam in the title match. Knight wins Royal Rumble next year and beats Drew at WrestleMania. Ooh, okay, so we're talking about the world title now. Knight should go to Raw. Knight should be a candidate to win. Actually, that's a hell of a question. Who do you guys think is slated to win next year's 2025 Royal Rumble? Does Cody go do a three-peat? Is it Roman? Is it Brock? Is it The Rock? Is it LA Knight? Is it CM Punk? I mean, that's a hell of a question. I know it's a long ways off, but it's fun to already think about. Number three, Tiffany Stratton and Chad Gable win Money in the Bank. Gable uses it to quickly and to finally win his IC title. Sammy, while Tiffany holds it like Priest did for a long time, eventually losing it to Bayley. Tiffany, I don't think, is going to win or cash in right away. As a heel, you like to sometimes string it out. And Bayley has just got it started with her run. So yeah, I'd agree that like Bayley, even if it's cashed in, she, you know, I don't think that, depending on the situation, that Tiffany should beat Bayley. I need Bayley's title reign to breathe. But Tiffany absolutely is a fun candidate. Chad Gable, fun candidate. And, you know, Gable cashing in on as an IC title instead of like the world title, that was a little suspect to me. Like, why wouldn't Gable go after the top belt instead of the IC? But these are all very, very fun. I mean, that would be actually a fun homework assignment for everybody. I'm now assigning homework to you. Everybody listening within the sound of my voice, here's some homework for you. Give me your boldest predictions between now and WrestleMania 41. Okay, let's do it. Okay, let's talk to Jason. He says, it's Jason from Oregon. WrestleMania 40 was epic. It was my first Mania since WrestleMania 25. Our whole family was glued to the TV for two nights, and our biggest pop in the house was The Undertaker, bell toll, and Cody winning. Kids went nuts. So did your kids actually know? I mean, I don't know how old your kids are. Your kids actually know who The Undertaker is? I mean, if you're my age, depending on when you had kids, that's impressive if they know who The Undertaker is. But here's a theme I'm knowing also, seeing, Jason, is people, even just in my email box, coming back to wrestling after so many years, which is why the ratings are up and why wrestling's never been hotter. You have people who have stopped watching for 10, 15 years or longer. All of a sudden, they're back. Okay, here's some early predictions for the card at WrestleMania 41. Okay, wow. Okay. Ask and you shall receive, right? I didn't set up the emails this way, as I just asked you guys for WrestleMania 41 through WrestleMania 41 predictions. But here you go. Here's your card for WrestleMania 41. My God. You know what you should do, Jason? You should mark this down, like print out this email, save it. And by March of next year, before WrestleMania 41, it'd be fun to compare what you thought was happening in April of 24 to what March of 25 is setting up for. That'd be fun. Okay. You have Logan Paul for the U.S. title versus LA Knight. Okay. IC title Chad Gable versus Braun Breaker. Tag team titles. So I'm assuming you mean Raw. Awesome Truth versus Dom and JD. The women's championship Charlotte versus Bayley. Ooh. Women's world title, Rhea versus Bianca. Yes, please. men's world title, Gunther versus Orton, and the universal title or undisputed title, Cody versus Punk. Ooh, Cody versus Punk. Wow. All right. Other matches include Jade versus Tiffany, Finn versus Priest, and Roman versus The Rock. This, please, Jason, please, please, please save this email. I want to see what this looks like in, you know, however many months, 10, 11 months. I like it though. If that card was tomorrow, sign me up. All right. But again, here's the thing with predicting out that far. There are so many unknown variables that it's impossible to see coming. An injury, change of plans, fans don't support the person that you want them to, or cheer the person that they weren't supposed to cheer. All these things, right? Just stuff that comes out of the blue. I mean, hell, they had the WrestleMania main event set and the fans changed it last second. All right, let's get to Bo. He says, okay, I thought WrestleMania was pretty good, but the ending of the Rhodes-Reigns match was lame. Wow, okay. This is a first. It was fine when The Undertaker made an appearance as well as Cena, but The Shield was a goofy intro for Seth to be laid out by The Rock 2 seconds later. I thought Dean Ambrose was coming back, and after the match, after the match, I go to the bathroom, and when I come back, I see Cody hugging the cameraman. Michael Cole was crying. It was so embarrassing for Randy Orton to be holding him up on his shoulders. Randy Orton's my favorite of all time, and now I'll never look at him the same. I didn't have beef with Cody for a bit. That ending was so weak, and it made me despise that stupid song. Anyway, sorry for ranting. My favorite match was the tag ladder match, just because of how hectic it was. The triple threat with the final testament was really good. Also, keep your head on tight and have a good night. Oh, yeah, that's the goal here. Right? If my head becomes loose, well, I may go to the hospital to see what's going on. But yeah, look, it's soft. It's the best adjective I could use. It's soft and feminine. Nothing wrong inherently with those things. Just not in the context of a finale of the biggest main event of the biggest WrestleMania. And it becomes one big love fest with everyone crying and sobbing and hugging and embracing and putting people up on their shoulders. It becomes too soft, too lovable, too just damn mushy. And that's the problem that we have with the ending and with just Cody's babyface character as a whole. It's very soft and feminine. Some people like that. I do not. So, all right. Well, let's see here. I don't know if I have a shorter email. I may get to it here. Let's talk. This is Ricky. Really short one. He says, hey, Matt, I don't know about you, but I couldn't stop laughing when I heard Samantha Irvin scream, here is your winner, main event Jey Uso. After his match in the bathroom break slot at WrestleMania really set him up for failure with that nickname. Would love to hear your thoughts. Yeah, I mean, hey, the thing is with Jay, he has been a main event up until this match, which did hurt a little bit. He's so talented, he'll get back on track. But it is funny, like, main event Jey Uso, yet it was a god-awful match with his brother. So I'm not worried about it in the long scope of his career. His body of work speaks for itself. But it wasn't the greatest look when you come out of a horrific match with your brother that, honestly, I didn't want to see it at all. I thought it would be better than it was, but it was just a bad match. And you have main event Jey Uso. And that's also the risk you have with a name like that is people could easily make fun of it when you're not the main event because your name is the main event, yet you're not in it. So easily kind of low-hanging fruit. But that's the risk you take on when you have a name like that. All right. Well, that's going to do it for me tonight, guys. There are other emails I didn't get to. We had piles and piles of emails, plus my daughter's yelling for me. You can probably hear her in the background. But that'll do it for me this evening. I will be trying to get to voicemails and maybe emails at the backside of tomorrow night's show, but I also don't want tomorrow's show to be 2 hours. I just don't have the time for it. So I will try. If you didn't hear your email still on this show, and you didn't get your voicemail, I got to zero voicemails. I will try to do those tomorrow night in the Week in Review show. So that'll do it for me. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Consider going to patreon.com/WWE podcast if you want your email read guaranteed on these mailbag shows. Patreon's the way to go, on top of shout outs and everything ad free and the After Dark show, which is coming to you later today. I'd encourage you to go there. So also Apple Podcasts and WWEPodcast.com are ways to get everything ad-free. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.